Project Happy Place podcast. Project Happy Place is an initiative to spark conversation and inspire people to live a purpose-filled life in their happy place. My guests inspire me and hopefully you to do more of what makes them happy. I am so excited to have my next guest on the podcast. Cindy and I met, we think, around 2008 or 9 on a business trip in Kauai. And ever since then, the kind of cohort of us, 4 or 5, every once in a while will text each other to say hello. And it was really a wonderful group of people. It all felt like we kind of got along and just had really good energy to the group. And over time, I have kind of followed Cindy on LinkedIn and recently discovered that she, in 2019, her and her husband purchased Sierra Pines Resort. And I messaged her immediately and said, we need to get you on the podcast because you were a meeting planner when I met you, and now you own Sierra Pines Resort. And she kind of had said the same in seeing some of my work that I was doing with the wellness retreats. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast, Cindy.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here and to learn a little bit more about your story. So can you take the listeners back to kind of 2019 when you and your husband decided to purchase the resort? Being a CFO in the tech industry and you being a meeting planner from the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. would love to hear how you guys made this transition.
It's quite the adventure, and it's hard to summarize, but it really, really kind of fell together. It started as a dream long ago. We said, well, someday maybe we don't see ourselves as retire, sit on the couch type of people. So maybe it would be fun to own a B&B in a beautiful place. And but what started out to be a B&B ended up being a 22-room resort with a fine dining restaurant. So larger than we pictured, but so much fun. It's keeps us busy every single day. Leaving, I don't feel I ever left my career. It just transferred, really, because being in corporate hospitality, I was equally as busy, but now I'm the owner and the boss, if you will. I don't think of myself as a boss, but I have a great team up here. Making the decision, a lot of our careers were, it was a time we were looking for a switch anyway, and that's for multiple reasons, downturn in the economy and stress on the job. We knew we had to make a change, or it just wasn't healthy anymore. So the dream of a B&B started to speed up a little bit. We started looking at real estate. One thing led to another, and here we are. It was quite a process. Of the purchase itself was long because of its we bought a business that was in the family, the same family for 50 years and built by the gentleman that we bought it from. So a lot of the history here dates back, including the title reports, date back to the gold rush. So it was a lot to overcome with that. But it all worked out. Moved in the middle of a snowstorm, so that took a long time. But next thing we knew, it was spring and we were opening the doors, and it was like we'd always been here. It's really, of course, there were kinks and it wasn't easy, but it's been amazing, really. It's a beautiful spot in the mountains and that people love to visit.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think what you said, and for people that are not familiar with the resort, as you mentioned, it has 22 rooms. It has a restaurant. It's located on, 40 acres, just in a really beautiful, beautiful setting. And I've always been a fan of doing vision boards. And I have on my vision board constantly, being in Southern California, there's not so much greenery. So the mountains, and I think a lot of people can, appreciate that you've created this happy place in such a, tranquil environment. And can you, and I know you said that you always kind of had this dream of owning the resort, and it feels so good now that you're in this place. And I think that inspires people to say, hey, like, what about that goal or dream that I had? Like, that is possible. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy.
Right.
But, when you hear the words kind of happy place, where does your mind go?
And I would say, it's funny that today, I think we were just talking about this. I'm dying to escape, you know, being in Southern California, I'm dying to escape to the beach because it's not so close anymore. However, I love the mountains. And we did find this beautiful spot where we're at it's called the Gateway to the Lakes Basin. I've had never been here before, but we're only an hour north of Tahoe, and which is everyone knows. But this particular area is still a pretty well-kept secret. There are about 50 lakes in our area. The property's right on the Yuba River. Trees galore. It's very green. The granite cliffs that you see at Tahoe. So all those things combined, that is my favorite environment. So now that we're still having to be the host and entertain and also manage everything, all I have to do is go outside and take a breath of fresh mountain air, and it grounds me again. Totally. It's really nice.
Yeah, I love spot. That. It's funny because we were kind of talking just previously before we started recording about the retreat that I did recently, and it was the first one that I had put on, and it was at an Airbnb, and the Airbnb that I had booked ended up, it's almost as though it used to be a bed and breakfast, because they had a really nice kitchen, and the kitchen had these huge windows that you could look out and just see the trees. And I was there in the kitchen, like cooking and getting ready. And I was just thinking to myself, like, yeah, this is me in my happy place, because I'm able to host, which I feel like as event planners, we kind of inherently do have that hosting hat that we wear. But then I love to cook. So, and then having my guests like around the property, just being able to enjoy themselves, it feels really good. And it just feels natural. So I think that's totally on my radar to one day have a space where I can, you know, host people on a more regular basis. Not to say that isn't stressful in and of itself, but like you said, you can kind of step outside and like take in the fresh air and the beauty of your environment, and it kind of resets you, which kind of leads to my next question. I mean, in owning a 22-room hotel, you have events on site. I know you have weddings that happen at your property. So when things, you know, do get a little tough, what tools do you have to kind of get you back to feeling, you know, more grounded?
I think it doesn't matter on the weather. It always for me is to go outside. Mm-hmm. And up here, if I walk even 25 feet away from my house, I have no connection anymore. So I can't be online. I can't take a phone call. So it's that simple. I can literally just walk down to the river and be completely unplugged for even if it's only 5 minutes. But, and I often sometimes, well, not often, but sometimes you never can never have 100% happy guests. And so when things go wrong up here in the mountains, the power goes out quite often. People will grumble about that, and I'll say, but go outside and look at the stars. They're spectacular because there's no street lights. There's no, you know, take a look around. And it really, what I'm trying to tell people is put life in perspective. You know, it could be a lot worse right now. So go enjoy the mountain or the sunset or even the rain and snow.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I'm sure you have a number of stories that could be your next path, is like the memoir about owning Sierra.
I have quite the journal.
And or like maybe a movie or documentary series. But so being that you're in the Bay Area, I imagine you do get a lot of guests that are coming from San Francisco that want like a little weekend escape. Now that you have kind of gotten yourself out of maybe that more high intense stressful environment of like the daily grind that a lot of people might be living in.
Right.
Now that you have a different perspective, it sounds like you can come to the table and tell people like to kind of relax a little bit more, take some deep breaths. So is it interesting now being on that side of the table to be able to maybe like see people come in, and if there's been any like stories that you can share or just reflections that you've had in this experience?
Let's see. Very, you know, I think we're far enough away that usually by the time people get here, we have a lot of customers from Sacramento, Reno, and even the Bay Area. So if you're coming from the Bay Area, it's about 4 hours, 4.5. Sacramento is about 2 or 2.5. I feel like by the time people get here, they're ready. They're ready to get out of the car, ready to relax. So for the most part, people come here and they're ready to unplug, but then they realize what that really means, because there is no cell service here. And most people don't even understand what that means. So they log into my Wi-Fi, they're on their phone, they log into the Wi-Fi, but my phone still says no service. And they really have a tough time understanding the difference between cell service and Wi-Fi. Overall, for the most part, people are just, they want to embrace that relax. It's difficult. They can't completely, no one ever completely puts their phone or their computer away. They're always up here around the lodge building, the only spot we have Wi-Fi, because we don't have it in the rooms either. But each day you'll see people on their phones less and less. You know, they get here and maybe they have to check in with the kids or the house sitter. But then each day, I think they realize how freeing it is to just put it away and go take a hike and enjoy. It's comical.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can't get online?
I know. I feel as though even just having short tech breaks can be super refreshing. And even kind of, we had this guideline at the retreat that you could be on your phone, but kind of only if you were in your room privately, because, you know, once somebody takes out their phone, it's like a trigger, and then everyone's kind of phones out, head down, and not really engaging with other people.
It's true.
But the beautiful thing was that it allowed people to have more conversations. So the time that they sat around the table, they could actually talk to each other versus, you know, being on their phone. And it is nice. And I don't think people realize how refreshing it can be until they, you know, actually do it and have like more time to really disconnect. So, you know, if somebody's coming up to your resort, they're probably staying for a couple of nights to be able to really disconnect. And then, you know, having that amazing reset is probably
nice. I think one of my favorite things is to see two guests or two parties or two groups who never seen each other before and spark up a conversation and then spend the entire dinner time talking like they're old friends. It's really quite fun.
Yeah.
What happens really when you put the phones away.
I have to ask about this trout pond. Because you have a trout pond in front of the lodge. So has that been there kind of for a while? And what is that like? That must be so fun to watch people kind of.
Yep. Age. Yeah. You know what? Coming in as an event planner and all the different venues that I've seen and things that you can do on properties, right? We first came in and we thought, oh, it's kind of unfortunate. It's right in the middle of the property. It's huge. It could be a swimming pool. It could be dance floor. Maybe it doesn't have to be a trout pond, but we quickly learned how incredibly popular it is because it's unique. Even though I'm in the mountains and you can go to the river and fish, it's kind of a guaranteed catch because we stock it every year. It's quite large and it has a fountain in the middle. I would like to make the fountain prettier because the function is putting air in the water so the fish survive all year long. So we stock it once a year and people can fish, and whatever they catch, they take home or they can take across the street and barbecue. Or we do amount of catching every morning and serve trout in our restaurant for breakfast and dinner. Or you can even just feed the fish. And I call them the little piranhas. They're like, as soon as you throw in a handful of what looks like dog food, they're practically jumping out of the water. It's crazy. I never get tired of watching it.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds delicious. Also just barbecuing trout that's freshly caught. And then it leads me to my next question about this beautiful cherry tree that you have on property.
Yes. It is growing straight through our lobby. The restaurant building is also our lobby where you check in for the hotel, and was the original cabin on the property. And the lobby area, if you look closely at the cabin, you can see the logs inside, and then the porch was enclosed and then extended a little further than that. So eventually the tree was enclosed and that is what is now our lobby. But it really looks fake if you don't pay attention to it outside. You walk in and you think, oh, this is fake tree stump. And then you walk outside and it's over 100 years old and it's a Royal Anne cherry tree that produces cherries every year.
That's amazing. I have to ask. So, you know, growing up, my family growing up in Pennsylvania, we would go up to Vermont every year in the summer to a lake with a cabin. And it was just really nice. And I feel like that's another reason probably why mountains always feel like such a place of solitude and tranquility for me, is having that kind of mountain escape every summer. Is there anything that you can think of that kind of spurred you or Glenn onto this kind of desire to be in the mountains? I feel like a lot of this stuff actually kind of gets triggered from maybe childhood memories or the past.
It was, I think, the one thing we both, probably the only thing we both agreed on in the beginning was something on water. We had no idea what this next property looked like for us. And we said, okay, we have to start somewhere. So we agreed on water, and his vision was on the beach, and which I love, and mine was in the mountains. And I think I was thinking on a lake, but we just decided whatever it has to be on water. Cause that's our zen, I guess. I hear the flow of water, whether it's a river or a lake I can swim in or the waves on the ocean, that's our place. So I guess we primarily focused on California and up into Oregon. And it kind of came down to affordability. The beach is so expensive, and also weather. The Oregon and Washington coast is so beautiful, but we both like to be warm. So just started looking at some properties, and between the beauty here and it was a good sound business investment that helped make our decision.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds lovely, but it does get cold there. So are you guys a year-round business, or are there times of the year where you have to shut down?
Yeah, we're growing it into that because although it does get cold here, California winters are beautiful. It'll snow. Like right now, actually, I've never really lived anywhere where you had the four seasons, and I'm looking out the window right now and the wind is picking up and the clouds are coming in. It's fall. Mm-hmm. It's chilly at night. You put a sweater on. And when it snows, it's beautiful. And then the sun will come out. Yes, it's cold, but it's not muddy, sloppy, like you would have in the city, I guess.
Yeah.
So I very much enjoy all the seasons up here. But back to so we are trying to grow the winter season up here. It's very quiet. It's a very small town. In the summertime, population of the locals is only 225. And, it can be a little dicey driving on Highway 49 because it's windy, but they do a very good job of keeping it open all year. So since we live here full time, we keep a small percentage of our cabins open, the ones that are the most accessible and that we can plow to and heat easily. And if you're going to bring people up in the winter, we have to be able to feed them. So we operate a little bit more like a bed and breakfast in the winter. We offer dinner to guests. So we will cook essentially and deliver it to their room in the winter. And we're working on a schedule right now where we open probably twice a month on Saturdays for the public in the restaurant. And then we're going to try and combine some music events and maybe sports, maybe game nights in the winter. So even the locals have something to do.
Nice. It sounds like you're really creating an environment that the whole community can enjoy.
We're trying to.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, population of less than 300 people is very rare these days. So that in of itself sounds very nice. Well, in kind of my closing question, I mean, not many people have ever worn the hat of, you know, resort owner. And while I'm sure they can imagine what that is, in having this property for the past few years, have there been any unexpected things that you've learned that have kind of surprised you in this new role that you have and life that you've created?
That is probably the reason I've started keeping a journal for the first time in my life, because the stories, I could not have made them up. And good and bad, honestly, and 90% good, I would say. We've met the most wonderful people, and I love hearing their stories. It's a place where families have come for generations, and so we've not made very much change because we're respectful of that. It's like you mentioned, your cabin in the woods. We don't want to be those Bay Area people that came in and changed everything. We want it to work for our guests, not for what well, we like the mountain environment as well, but overall people are so happy and they've been more than welcoming. Everyone has been great to us. But then you get I don't even know where to begin. I don't, there's the person that knocks on the door at 5 a.m. and was in a campground and needs emergency medical help. Because there's, as I mentioned, no cell service in the area. The power goes out. There are food that spoils. There's car accidents. There's bears. There's things. Every single day is something new. Not a day goes by that's boring. And then you have, I think the most, now that we're the owners and the buck stops here, as I always say, you have your customer service is challenged. So I've always, been in customer service my whole life, but am really having to put into practice what I've learned in patience and dealing with unhappy customers. So we like to try and, we do the best we can to spin a bad situation and do whatever you can to make that guest happy. But mostly it's just comical. The things you just could never predict. One day we thought we heard a clap of thunder and it was a car crashing into a giant tree that was right in front of my house. And had the tree not been there, the car would have been in my house.
Oh my goodness.
It's craziness, but very fun.
Yeah.
Fun. We laugh a lot and it's very tiring. It's exhausting, but it's very rewarding.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's just the key point there. It's like every day is different. It's not that it's, stress-free. It's not, it's probably more stress, but it's like a different type.
Different stress. Right.
Yeah. And it's like kind of on your terms, like you said, because you're the owners and you have like this outlet of creativity too in creating an environment there that gives back to the community, but also helps recharge your guests, which probably feels really fulfilling. And
right. It's
probably one of the reasons why you kind of wanted to make this move in the first place. So that's definitely so exciting.
It's been fun.
Well, I personally want to make sure that at some point I can come visit you and you'll have to do the same in Southern California.
Yes.
And I can't wait to, like I said, promote your space and, just spread the word. I think that this will serve as really inspiration for people that have had a dream. I think if anything, with what's been happening, in the past year and a half or so, it's this moment in time that is allowing people to reflect and make big life changes.
Definitely. I 10 years ago, if you told me I'd be doing this, I'd say no way.
I know. I knew you 10 years ago and I would have said,
right.
But I will be honest. I feel like it's not so unexpected. I mean, you and I only knew each other for a couple of days, but I felt this like very happy, just laid back presence about you. So I feel as though I can see how this is working out for you. And Glenn seems like, similar guy. So very happy for both of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So for all of my guests, this wraps up the last episode of season one. So happy to have you here. And after this episode, we'll be taking a little bit of a break and we will be back with season two. So thank you again, Cindy, for joining on the final episode of season one, and look forward to what's in store for you and Sierra Pines Resort.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.